We will continue to learn from the book of Proverbs. We're still not done with Proverbs. Gaining wisdom and knowledge while embracing the challenge and opportunity to get better. That's what we're here to do, right? I'm excited to again learn from a verse of scripture that you'll find familiar, I believe. But I'm also sure you're going to learn something. Today, our women will be front and center. Are you ready for that, women?
Amen.
We're going to learn about an amazing woman today, and I'm talking about the virtuous woman. You guys ready to learn some things about the virtuous woman?
Amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm looking forward to getting better today. Say it again like you mean it. I'm looking forward to getting better today. Now tell a different neighbor, my life will be changed today. Say it again. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I want you to do something. I know we're short on time, but I want you to write down, and only take you a minute. I want you to write down your image of or your description of a virtuous woman. Your image or description of a virtuous woman. What do you think of when you think of a virtuous woman? Amen. Virtuous woman. I know some of you are still writing. The main point of this exercise is so that you can get in your mind and ideally on paper your view of this amazing, virtuous woman. Our text will be found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, the very last chapter of Proverbs, and verses 10 through 31. So we're going to shut down. We're going to close out Proverbs today. And we're going to be reading verses 10 through 31. And let's all read verse 10 together. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Amen. It's also fair. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find her? You won't find her on every street corner. You won't find her everywhere. She is not every woman you see, that's for sure. It says here she is extremely valuable. And for the men, if you find yourself one, you would be crazy not to value her. That is a virtuous woman. One question we could ask with all of the women here today is, do you actually desire to be a virtuous woman? The women in the women's fellowship talked about a virtuous woman. I don't know what you said, but I don't know if you all walked out of there planning to do what it takes to be a virtuous woman. Not every woman aspires to be virtuous. Amen?
Amen.
Let's talk a little bit about what virtuous means. The most common definition is having or showing high moral standards. Some of the synonyms are righteous, good, pure, principled. Some go as far as to say angelic and saintly, but I think that's going a little bit too far. But as I read that definition of virtuous, how does that match up with your description, your definition of the virtuous woman? Does it make you want to be a virtuous woman, women, that definition? Having or showing high moral standards, righteous, good, pure, principled. Does this make you want to be that? Do you aspire to that?
Amen.
And men, is this the kind of woman that you would value?
Amen.
Don't say it if you don't mean it. Is this the kind of woman that you would value if you have a high moral standards woman or wife who's righteous and good and principled? Would you value her? Amen. Well, since you said yes, let's look at verses 11 and 12 as we learn more about this virtuous woman. It's so easy to read that one verse. And many of us who are familiar with this virtuous woman know just from that one verse verse 10, and then we run off with what we believe virtuous means. And that's all we know about the virtuous woman. Well, if that's all you know, you have a lot to learn this morning. Amen? Yeah. Let's look at verses 11 and 12 and read them together. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, there's two key things I want to point out in regards to this verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So if you are a virtuous woman, your husband's mind will be at rest. His mind will be at peace because you are a virtuous woman. Amen? Amen. You are not a virtuous woman because he trusts and empowers you. His mind gets to be at peace, and he can trust you because you are a virtuous woman. Amen? Amen? It's on you. You can't say, well, if he would, X, Y, and Z. No, no, no. Either you are a virtuous woman or you're not. And a God-man would then be at peace because you are a virtuous woman, because of how you handle things, because of how you handle business, what the latter portion of this verse is trying to say, because of how a virtuous woman handles business, the man has no need to go out and pursue risky propositions, dangerous propositions, immoral and illegal propositions, because he's got a virtuous woman holding it down and holding him up. I'm talking to somebody, amen? He doesn't have to go out and do those things to ensure that the needs of the household are taken care of. Why? Because he found himself a virtuous woman. Amen? Amen. Now, to fully understand this text, you've got to keep in mind as we get ready to read some things that there is a historical context here. The man usually comes into the relationship with substance. And he meets up and pairs up with a woman. And he and she operate a certain way. And it's either for the better or it's for the worse. Amen? Amen? Men, you need to find yourself a suitable partner. That's what the Bible was saying when it said God found Adam a helpmeet. That meant a helper suitable for him. Not the animals, but bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Somebody he can relate to. This is what we're looking for, amen? Amen? So in this story that's depicted here in the book of Proverbs, talking about the virtuous woman, she is managing the affairs of the household. And it describes how aptly she does so, amen? Amen. For you to apply it, you need to translate it into common day or modern day circumstances. Now let's look at verse 12. Where it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, one of the problems with this particular reading, as we have it in the King James Version, is the chosen translation. It messes everything up. That word evil, how many of you all identify with that word evil? That word evil just lets us off the hook. When they choose to get all high and mighty and religious and use that word evil, all it does is let us off the hook. Oh, yeah, that can't be me. That can't be me. I would never do evil. I wouldn't admit to doing evil to my spouse, to my mate, to my partner. But to get this right, to understand what he's saying here, when he said that she would do good and not evil all the days of his life, go to the Hebrew, that word is ra, two letters, R-A, ra. And it means most succinctly adversity. Adversity. So she will not bring adversity to him all the days of her life. Not only can he trust her, not only does he not have to go out and do crazy stuff in order to take care of the household because she's holding it down, but he knows that she's going to be good to him, not bring him adversity all the days of his life and her life. This means disagreeable. You ever been disagreeable? That's not what a virtuous woman does. It means giving pain, unhappiness, misery. You ever done any of that? Trials, hardship. Ever caused any of that? Vicious tempered or disposition. You ever have a vicious temper or disposition? You ever felt justified in having a vicious temper or disposition because of the way your day went, because of something he said to you, or worse, because of something that somebody way in your past said or did to you? Then you give him this vicious disposition. We're beginning to get a picture of this virtuous woman. But there's more. Are you going to go there with me?
Amen.
Amen. Don't draw your conclusions about this virtuous woman yet. You're starting to get a picture. But don't draw your conclusions yet about this great woman until we get the whole picture. Let's go to verse 13. And I want you guys to read for me verses 13 through 22. You can begin now.
She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth the staff. She stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, she reaches for her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple.
Amen. So now, how does this fit your description of a virtuous woman? Did you think of these things? Now, we're all in the 21st century, and so did anybody stumble over what sounds like domestic activity? You start thinking those negative thoughts that our society today causes you to think as if she's being domesticated. Well, remember, you have to go back to the historical perspective and understand what was going on at that time. But if you really pay attention to what you just read, what you come away from it with, is that not only does she put her husband's mind at ease, not only does she fail to create adversity for him, but she is extremely industrious. She is enterprising. She is a great businesswoman. She can look at a field and consider what it's good for and what's a good price. And she doesn't have to go and ask for help to know whether she ought to buy it or not. She is all of that. She has got all those qualities that we think of as being attributed to a man, right? And yet, she carries all of that in a person and in a character that is caring. You don't have to be a man to have all those qualities, right? And you don't have to give up that part of you. You don't have to be hard to be industrious. You don't have to be hard to be enterprising. You also don't have to be materialistic to be enterprising. She is caring. After all of that, she does all of these things. I'm like, she gets up before day breaks to take care of the needs of those who are hers. We get it all twisted and we start thinking if we're doing that, we're being used, taken advantage of. Not the virtuous woman. She doesn't think of it that way. But we let the world mess up our heads. We let the world keep us from valuing the things that are the most valuable. Taking care of your household and your family is the most valuable thing. What did God reach into Adam and take one of his ribs out for? To give him a suitable partner. Whatever that means between him and her, it's all covered. Don't get it twisted. Don't get too caught up in the specific things in the domestic aspect that she had to do in that historical context. The point is, between the two of them, and you'll see as we read more, it's all taken care of. And for you to not limit this woman is the point. It's not to domesticate her. If you look at all these things that she does, that's not just household stuff. That's not just cleaning up the house. That's not just changing the diapers. She's handling business so her husband can rest his mind. Are you with me? Are you learning something? We're learning about this virtuous woman. Simply put, she adds, she does not subtract from the household and his life. She multiplies whatever he came to her with, he leaves with more. Whatever he came to her as, he comes out of it better. This is what happens when a man is exposed to or gets connected with a virtuous woman. She helps rather than hurting. She builds up rather than tearing down. This woman is powerful, but she uses her power to do good. What can't this woman do? This virtuous woman, amen? Knowing all that, you still really don't know and understand this virtuous woman. There's still more to know. You still don't know her fully. If you judge her or assess her, after all that we've come to learn about her, you will still judge her prematurely. And here is why. To get the full picture, let's go back to verse 10. Back to verse 10. Back to the beginning where we said, who can find this virtuous woman? Her price or her value is far above rubies or any other jewel. To understand the missing piece to the puzzle, we have to look at this word virtuous. When we read this, who can find a virtuous woman, we attach to it the typical description or definition of virtuous. You know, pious and righteous and principled and not showing any skin and having a dress all the way down to there. This virtuous woman does everything right. Saintly, principled. And that's because of the word that was chosen in the King James translation. This word virtuous, and not that she shouldn't be virtuous, but it puts our virtuous, quotes, woman into a box that cannot contain her. It does not contain her. This word virtuous was chosen and it reflects the bias, the male-dominated bias, the religious bias of the translators. A virtuous woman is way more than what we usually consider. And you just read the text. You can see that she's way more than just a pious, principled woman. We ended up with this word virtuous, which she is way more than this. It comes because, you remember now, the Old Testament came from the Hebrew, and then it went to the Greek with our Septuagint, and then it went to the Latin, and the Catholic Church held on to the only Bible we had, which was the Latin language Bible, which no individual, only the church, could have for many, many centuries. But when we began to be able to have the Bible and translate it so that all the common people could have it, then we ended up translating it into various languages. This word virtuous comes from the Latin virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S. And it moved through the late Latin and became virtuosus. And then moved through the old French and it became vertuos. And then we get to the Middle English, which is what we get our English word from, which is virtuous. And so that's why we ended up having that. Just like caritas in the Bible is the translation of agape, which means something way bigger than just charity giving stuff out. Same problem, going to the Latin and not being able to get back and grab the real original meaning. So that's how we end up with the choice made to translate this word into virtuous. And so you have a picture of a virtuous woman by normal definitions, and it does not fully define her. But if you read the whole text and don't just do the newspaper clipping Christianity, then you will know much more about her. Amen? Amen. And if you don't get tripped up, if you get the whole picture of who she really is, then you also don't think she's just some glorified domesticate. Are you learning anything?
Amen.
So that word virtus is what we trip over. The real Hebrew word there is chayil, C-H-A-Y-I-L. And it actually means forceful, strong, powerful, capable. And most biblical translations substitute excellent. So when you picture this virtuous woman, this pious woman that wears her collars all the way up to here and wears her dresses all the way down to there, and she's principled, isn't that beautiful? And she should be. But the word that was actually used to describe this woman that seems to be able to do everything and do it well, it was actually powerful. It was actually strong. It actually meant capable and excellent. So now all of a sudden, are you ready to be a virtuous woman? Are you ready to have a virtuous woman? Only a true God man, card carrying God man, can really roll with a virtuous woman. Amen?
Amen.
If you're still hiding behind your mother's skirt tail, you can't handle a virtuous woman. If you don't know who you are, you can't handle a virtuous woman. I hope you're learning something. She's forceful. She's strong. She's powerful. She's capable. She's excellent. The main point here is the true translation is much more fitting with our text. And it fully explains why she is so capable of handling so many things so well. Does she sound like a domesticated woman now? Does she sound like a less than woman now? Does it sound like somebody who can just sew? And anyway, if you read it, it's not just so. Because of her hands and her industriousness, her family doesn't have to worry about it when it snows because of her hands. They don't have to worry about whether or not the money's being invested well. They don't have to worry about whether folks have food in their mouths. Why? Because of the way she chooses to use her power. You're not going to leave here today thinking that a virtuous woman is just some highfalutin Christian, you know, principled woman. That all that's good, but a virtuous woman, what the book of Proverbs was trying to expose you to, as we put a period and exclamation point on this book, the last thoughts that you have as you end this book of wisdom was for you to know how valuable a virtuous woman is and her characteristics. That's what the book of Proverbs wants you to end with. I think that's pretty cool.
Amen.
Simply put, she is a force, a force of nature, strong, capable. We know that a woman can multitask, but we also know she is strong and capable. Amen?
Amen?
And like I said, most Bible translations use the word excellent. And let me just tell you this, this word virtuous, of all the things that it could have been translated into, only the King James chooses this word virtuous. All of the other ones use things like noble or excellent. Only the King James gets you caught up in that box of thinking of her as just a virtuous woman as we define it. And only in two places. and only as it related to women. There's the bias, the male bias in the translations. There's many other translations. It's called warrior, army, but only when it related to the men. Mm-hmm. I'm telling y'all the truth, am I not? Look it up. You'll just find that I did the work for you. So let's find out the rest of her character. Let's look at verse 23. All right. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he's sitting among the elders of the land. So he gets to go there and pontificate and make, you know, major decisions about what will go on in the city or the town or the place where they live. He gets to go and be a muckety-muck. He gets to go and do what the men did in the gates. That's what they did. But the point here is the reason why he gets to be where he is and operate on the level that he does is why? Because of her excellence and because of her strength. She allows him to be the best that he can be. She empowers him, enables him to be the best that he can be. You can't be at your best if you're constantly dealing with adversity at home. You can't be at your best if you're constantly competing with your wife because she thinks that the things that she has been tasked to do as a partner with you are beneath her. Whatever those things are, maybe she makes more money. Maybe you wash the dishes. The point is, you're suitable partners. If either of you loses sight of your real purpose in the partnership, it will crumble. Amen? Amen. So it's because of her. It's not just because of her, but without her, he can't be all that he can be. Amen? Amen? Let's look at verses 24 through 27. She maketh fine linen and sells it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with what? Wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. We're not talking about some hard woman, some mean woman, some woman that's trying to be a man. And therefore it comes on with these characteristics that don't look anything like a virtuous woman. It looks like a woman trying to be a man. Two different things. Two completely different things. But now that you've read these verses and you see how many realms she operates in and how what a huge difference she makes. And yes, she her strength and honor are her clothing. Yes, she has that character, but it's not all that she is. And when she opens her mouth, there is wisdom in her tongue and she's kind. Now you have a full picture of the virtuous woman. Now you're in a position to assess her or to judge her, if you will. And so if you judge rightly, then your judgment will match the remainder of these verses. And let's look at verse 28, where it says what? Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Amen? Amen? So a virtuous woman makes such a difference in life, in people's lives, that they praise her. Her children praise her because they recognize the difference that she makes in their lives. They recognize all the things that she does that makes a difference in their lives. Her husband praises her because he recognizes the power that she has and the way that she uses it to benefit him and the household and the unit. I could do this more. I should praise my own wife more for all that she does that allows me to be all that I'm able to be. She is the wind beneath my wings. If you see me flying, if you think I soar, you better give her some of the credit. Amen? Amen. We don't give our parents enough credit. We look at the negative. We look at what they did wrong, not what they did right. You look at the letter of the law rather than standing back and paying attention to the full story, the full picture, so that you can understand the spirit of the law. And so we fail to give them their flowers while they can smell them. All this, these are just two examples, husband, wife, child, child parent, child mother. They're just a reflection of not only should we say yes today to God and not wait for tomorrow, but we should also love and express love and give credit where it is due today while you can. The book of Proverbs is practical, not just spiritual. There's a virtuous woman in every one of you. I don't know if you want to be her. You might want to keep her suppressed. But she is who you were created to be. She is who you are at your very best. But you can let pride, you can let secular society, and sometimes church or materialism get in the way of allowing her to blossom and surface. Amen?
Amen.
I wish we had time to speak prophetically into our women today and surface this virtuous woman that's in all of you. But let's go ahead and read verse 29. It says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There's many women out there, but the one that you're attached to, your mother, your wife, she better have place number one. There's many daughters out there, but you excel them all. A virtuous woman stands out. If your mother, if your wife is a virtuous woman, she's going to stand out. She's going to stand out. And verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that what? Shall be what?
Praise.
Quickly. This word favor, what it means is the advantages of comeliness, the advantages of having a nice figure and or face. They're deceitful. You can do a lot of things. You can make deals like this virtuous woman did. You can do things by using what God gave you externally. But those, that kind of favor is deceitful because it is what is given to you by those who really don't know you. They just see the outside. And they are really not valuing you. They may give you favor, but it's deceitful because they're really not giving it to you because of who you are. They don't know that you're powerful. They just know you're beautiful. They don't know you're wise. They just know you're shapely. They don't know you. These are just the advantages of comeliness. But whose job is it to give you the kind of praise that comes from who you really are? It's your husband and your children. That's why the Bible says, she shall be praised. Verse 31, and we'll wrap it up. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, not only shall she receive her due praise, but even if people remain silent, the lasting effects of her prudence and her care and her caring and her impact on people's lives, that will trumpet her praise. Even if men don't open their mouths. Just the mention of her will trumpet her praise. Just her presence will be sufficient. Amen?
Amen.
So now that we know what the virtuous woman really is, you know, why is it or why not? Why not have 100% virtuous women in For God's Glory Ministries? What could we accomplish if we had 100% virtuous women? Set aside pride, secular societal values that get in your way and prevent you from being the best that you can be, even religion that tries to put you in a box, materialism, you going out trying to fill a hole that's inside of you by buying things, and it shouldn't even be a hole in the first place. It's because you rejected the thing that God really wants you to be. For whatever your reasons, because you've accepted society's definitions, or because you're too prideful. And heaven forbid, people in religion put you in a box. So if you set aside those things, you can emerge as God's best woman and man's best suitable partner. Yes, having high moral standards and values and being principled, but also being powerful and strong and able and excellent. That is the virtuous woman. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise.